In my study, on a corner of the desk, I have had for many years now an old biscuit tin. It's been there so long I no longer remember where or when I came by it. It was just a practical thing. I use it for spare pencils and various stationery bric-a-brac. But I have become rather fond of it nowadays because on the lid is a painting by some unknown artist. It shows an old man sitting in a room in a cottage, evidently by himself, playing a violin. From his clothes and the decor, we can see it is in the late 19th or early 20th century, the pre-electric age, perhaps anywhere in the Western world, including Australia. To his left is a big open fireplace with a stout wooden mantelpiece. A beautiful fire is crackling away, and over it hangs a big iron pot suspended on a heavy chain. Just behind him, to his right, is a window with small wood-framed panes. Outside we can see a hint of a country garden. On the windowsill there is a flower pot and a small pile of books. At his feet is a bundle of sheet music, underscoring his expression of rapt concentration. It is a charming scene in its kitschy way. There is a great sense of peace and well-being, of enlightenment, indeed of civilization in this little picture. In its way, it shows us a low-tech world of the small and local, of culture and contentment in a probably remote community. And yet, of course, when we think about it, the big iron pot and chain would have been made in a foundry in a town at least some distance away, the glass panes too. The books and sheet music would have come from a city even further away, and the violin probably from another country. It's a world, although simple compared to ours, that is nevertheless global. And of course, in those times, production of these items often involved large armies of workers in massive industrial complexes with many unpleasant features. I guess now they're mainly in China and all that gets little attention. Very few people really want to go back to the old days of any period, and with good reason. But it makes it a very difficult proposition to find a sustainable, perhaps more importantly, a desirable social structure that balances the local and the global. How can we find one that works but doesn't destroy? Development of a certain kind rules, and one consistent feature of development is centralisation. Decentralisation seems almost a lost cause. I think political centralisation has a place. Farmers clear scrub in Queensland and affect the water supply in Adelaide. Only national governance can deal with that. Korea fills in a major coastal wetland and destroys a significant portion of the world's migratory birds. Only international governance can do anything about it. I'm not sure why I'm generally so reluctant to go along with development, at least as we know it, even though I don't want to live in the past any more than anyone else. There is always, of course, concern about the landscapes, the birds and other animals and plants that live in them, the air and the water. Maybe it's just the noise, visual blight, the incessant busyness putting pressure on everything and everybody, the obstinate refusal of its tunnelled vision instigators to acknowledge anything else as more important. Sometimes you just wish they'd stop, just leave things alone. I can't help thinking a strong sense of beauty is needed as a central cultural value to us all. It's the one thing that might restore an effective sense of the sacred, one that drew limits without having to accept a religion, but still giving us a belief in some value higher than a dollar. As I prepare this program in January 2008, there is a big, academically high-level, 4 or 5 day conference coming up in Melbourne on the history of art. Speakers are coming from all over the world to fulfil a 60-page program. I did a search on the program. The sacred does rate a session. The word is often in quotes. But I found just 2 occurrences of the word beauty in the titles of 2 half-hour papers. They were Beauty and Horror on Afghan Rugs and Beauty and Truth in Nature about Japanese art. The latter sounded like my kind of paper, but hardly enough to justify the conference fee. I'm hoping beauty will make a comeback, and without any quotes too.